It's Renee. I just wanted to take a few minutes to check in, say hello, and just share some things that have come up in the first few months of the podcast being out. I, first of all, am just so grateful, and although you are listening to me, I see you, and I thank you for dropping in and wanting to grow, and it's just exciting to see how deep we can go within a podcast format. I've also been thinking a little bit about why our town and why Wilmington is as special and unique of a space as it is. And I've had a few thoughts come through. One being that although we are, as a collective, more connected, quote unquote, through our devices and so forth than ever, there really is a loneliness, I would say epidemic, where people feel still so isolated. And this is happening on the micro, even within homes and fanning out into communities and really feeling like you're just floating and not anchored or tethered in, which is why I feel one of the reasons that Wilmington is such a unique community. It is a place that you don't have to look far to find your people, to find gatherings that are for your interests or flair. It's just woven into the fabric of being here in everyday life. And we really are a unique place in that there are so many different avenues and ends to explore our growth, to connect, and to feel that sense of belonging. And what I love about the podcast is that we are also creating another layer of intimacy. I wanted to backtrack for just a minute before we get into a really freaking incredible guest interview you guys are gonna love, and just talk about that I used to do this podcast as a Zoom format, as most podcasters do. And although there was nothing wrong with it, I just felt still like there was an opportunity to go deeper. At the beginning of the year, you'll notice that we did switch formats and move into this in-person, in-studio experience. And what I have had happen has been surprising. It is a opportunity to be in someone's energy and to have a felt experience that goes beyond the screen. It has been deeply fulfilling for me, and my intention is that that is translating out to you all as you are listening in. I just appreciate the opportunity to connect and to curate more of a vibe, joy, and belonging. And I think that if you are listening to my voice right now and you are listening to the guests, you may feel a little different, or perhaps at some point in your life felt like you didn't really know who your people were. And it has taken you probably some trial and error and some exploring to find your people. You probably have a very specialized assignment. And many of us, speaking for myself here, we have grown up into this world and felt a little misunderstood. We feel things, we see things, we can be intense. We need something a little different than maybe the everyday average person that we meet or the families that we were born into to thrive. I definitely feel that what we have here and who you are hearing from, they are a heart-centered cast of characters in your show, if you will. And we are all a little bit of joyful rebels around here. And I think we have a common thread that says we want to grow and we want to expand. We want to do it in community. We want to do it with people that get us, that see us. So this first few months has been beyond for me personally. And so I just wanted to take this time for you to hear from me directly, because by the time we get into the studio and we've got the guest and the production going on, it feels like it's showtime and there isn't as much intimacy between you and I, but I definitely am here for that too. And I'm grateful for you. And I see you. I see your worth. I see that you are here to want to make an impact and to want to shine your unique light. So, moving forward, I have visions. I get them a lot. I have big visions of connection and so forth, and opportunities for us to meet and to see each other. A lot of what and who we are talking about here has a context locally that we can lean into. So I would love to hear, either in a direct message or an email, if you would be into that, if you feel like that, because I know that we have so much going on in this town, which is so beautiful and unique and wonderful. But do we want to have perhaps a live podcast recording where we can feel each other's energy in a larger group? Do we want to have a meetup? Or is this good? Is this like, hey, I love being able to drop in, get to know who is in this community, what their gifts are, and go from there. And that's cool too. But I just wanted to open the door, open the dialogue, and say, above all, I am so grateful that you are here. Now, please drop in and get ready to enjoy an incredible podcast recording transmission that we have today from the one and only Fox Lantern.
All right. So welcome, Fox. I'm so excited you're here with me today.
Thank you. In person. I know. Here I am.
We're in a shared studio space.
This is exciting. And it is. How exciting for you.
Thank you.
Right? This is pretty great that you're doing this. You're getting to interview very cool people and what they do.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. Yes. And you are a bit of a celebrity around these parts and now at large. I think a lot of people do know of you and your work. And we did a podcast last season. If you have not had the chance, listener, go back and get to know Fox. We went into her background, how she came into her gifts, and all of that goodness, that foundational goodness. And today we're going to go a little deeper. We're going to get into some new territory.
That's good.
You down?
Yes, absolutely. I'm here for it, 112%.
I love that. I do appreciate it so much because you are a common thread throughout this podcast. Every guest that we have had practically so far has told us their soul animal. And that is the work that you do. Tell the listener, just, you know, give us an introduction to your beautiful gift and the work and how you help people.
So I am a soul animal shaman. What that basically means is that I utilize my gift of being able to see people's core energy signature frequencies as a species-specific animal to help them navigate their interpersonal relationships, communication, where to put their energy, how to manage their energy, and basically have a human experience, right? So the animal helps them understand what they're doing with the human parts of themselves. And I do that with the visualization techniques that I have built in, and that inspires changes and shifts in their environment to help them with their own personal growth and awareness.
I love that so much. Yes. Yeah. So I highly encourage you. I'm just going to say, usually at the end, I'm like, tell us about your work and where to find you. I just encourage you right off the bat. This is one of the most impactful readings I've ever had. I have had my entire family read. I have had friends, anybody that I talk to, and it's a thing here locally that if you go anywhere and get to know somebody, it's pretty much going to come up, what's your soul animal? So, listener, gotta go see Fox.
Thank you.
I know. My daughter's boyfriend's gonna come see you next week. I'm like, can I come? I'm like, so like it's a fascinating reading to witness. And I will also say this, it is not a fluffy, oh cute, what's your animal? No, it goes deep. And you gotta be brave to sit with Fox and to hear about yourself and your energy frequency as an animal.
Yes, there's a lot of brave people out there. I'm very grateful to be a part of a process that allows me to connect with so many people who are bravely seeking out better understandings of themselves and the world around them, because that gives me hope. That gives me big hope for the future. You know, in a world where all of this stuff is happening, and we don't have to get into that, but like, you know, when you think about how many people, especially I know for you too, getting to talk to the community and see all these really amazing, courageous people coming forth, it's nice to know that people are really trying to understand themselves so that they can make differences in positive directions for all of us. You know, when you think about it through the animal lens, right, if an animal is really working hard at being the best version of themselves they can in an ecosystem, that ecosystem's going to be all the better for it.
Definitely.
Right? So it helps us all.
It does. It does have a massive ripple effect. Absolutely. That has been something I've seen within my own home for sure. And I want to talk to you because I think there's such impact in interpersonal relationships in your work. Before we get into that, maybe I was curious if you could speak to the different ecosystems of animals in a general sense, meaning the land animals, the sea animals, the air animals, like what characteristics do you find that are kind of a common thread in each? Can you maybe speak to that?
Yeah. So in my shamanic practice, I divvy up my year, obviously like a lot of people, into seasons. And then I equate those seasons to different elements. And then within my practice doing soul animal work, I attribute those elements to certain animals who live within those spaces. So, you know, if you're a water animal, like
sitting
some
with a
dolphin that I know.
Sitting with a water animal today, guys.
Water is the realm of spring, which we know is a time of rebirth and renewal. There's a cleansing aspect to it, a reflective aspect to water. There's clearly an emotional aspect to water, the flow of emotions. And I think that that's directly tied to that inner child work, the innocent but also very baseline needs of an individual start within the water, right? And water is all in our bodies, so without it, we don't last very long. And that in itself, like, so any animal who comes from the water realm is going to teach lessons regarding the depths of your psyche, the reflection of self, inner child healing work, cleansing. Air is the realm of the flying animals, right? Most of them are going to be birds, who teach us a lot about interpersonal relationships. Trust is a big one, right? Allowing yourself to fly is a big trust exercise.
Yeah.
Understanding distance and closeness. There's also communication that's a big part of the air, right? We need air to be able to communicate words and sound. And then you've got the fire animals, who are the realm of autumn. So air was summer, fire's autumn, and that's a time of illumination. It's getting you a good idea of what you have, what you don't have. It's also a time of gathering, harvest, and it's going to be a fire energy. We start lighting our fires at that time.
And
of
you
year.
Were mentioning a fox is actually
yes, foxes
a fire
are
animal.
Part of fire.
Okay, that's interesting.
So other animals that would be associated with fire could be desert animals, some desert animals. But typically fire only can exist with fuel, like certain situations that allow for it to be, right? So those animals are going to be very dependent on their environments to help them thrive and adapt. And then we've got our earth animals, which is a pretty big group. And when I talk about earth, I'm talking about land. So those are going to be about foundations. That's going to be about legacy, ancestor work, the death aspect of life, right? The letting go, facing grief and fear usually is a part of that realm, just like winter would bring about in people. But it's a time of incubation too. So if you can learn the lesson of the land animals, then you can also understand that there is another side to it. When water returns.
I love that so much. That's a beautiful explanation. And I went back yesterday and listened to my recording of our first reading, and it was like listening to it for the first time. I took notes again. I had so many different points of reflection, and it also illuminated things for me that I didn't necessarily get the first couple times I listened to it. Your work resonates deeply, and it kind of transcends time and space, and you initially at the reading, I didn't digest, you know, it's a lot.
It is
a lot.
Yes.
But I now am really like kind of embodying and getting it. And it's, you know, it's exciting. And I feel like, you know, definitely when you get your reading, record it so you can reflect back and continue, because you will want to, trust me.
A lot of what I talk to or talk about with people, it flows. Like I do, especially in Zoom sessions, I'll start out with like some general notes, you know, because I'm not getting to meet this person in person like we did.
Right.
So I start with a photo from somebody and then I just allow that information to visually flow through. I write down my general notes, but the notes are less than a paragraph and then the rest is all just on the spot
in the moment.
So when I talk, it's coming out.
It's a channeling.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
That's the way it feels.
So recording it is very beneficial, especially because I'll get those calls afterwards. Hey, can you give me a synopsis of what we talked about?
Yeah, you're like, I don't
possibly.
Even, do you even know? Like, does it kind of leave your field
sometimes,
once?
Yeah, I mean, I'm to a certain human degree. Too, right? Yeah. So I'm having my human experience and sometimes it is difficult to recall and recount everything. I do pride myself on having an amazing memory, which has helped me with cataloging and categorizing all of these animals over the years that I've been doing this. However, you know, the more people there are and the more faces I meet, it sometimes like starts to seep into one another just as it is with anybody, I imagine.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I feel that it's a lot. I'm sure. I know.
But it's good though. It's definitely kept my brain going.
Yeah.
You know, I love crossword puzzles and word searches and things like that, but this is equally just as like brain using.
Yeah. You're a vast, vast encyclopedia of knowledge. I have sat with you enough that I am like constantly like, wow, like you know so much about so much.
Thank you.
In your experience, in your body of work so far, and being with, you know, so many different animal signature energies, what is that work, I guess maybe can you generalize, like what has that shown you or taught you? I know it's a big question.
It is a big question, and on a more me level, I'm not going to say selfish because I don't think it's about selfishness, but for me, it's shown me how much we are all one, like all of us, every single person on this planet, even the people that some people would say are bad and some people would say are good. Because in what I do, I try not to categorize that way because nature doesn't have a good and bad.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I truly believe that it's about convenience and inconvenience at the end of the day, which that could challenge a lot of people, I'm sure, but it is frightfully inconvenient to have somebody break into your home and take your things, but it's super convenient to have somebody break into your home and leave you things.
Sure.
Santa Claus. So it's very easy to categorize good and bad, right?
But I
both
are
breaking and entering.
Yes, very so, very different polarizations there. Yes,
pun intended.
Got it.
So
and she's a comedian too, folks.
There we go.
She's got jokes.
I've got jokes for days. I mean, ultimately, it's this work has shown me that we are all really just trying to make it through this thing that we call life. Mm-hmm. And I'm so amazed every day, even after all these years doing this, I am super amazed by people. It makes me so happy to see people just trying.
Yeah. And everybody is in an ecosystem. We're all in the ecosystem.
Yeah, and they're doing
ecosystem.
Their thing. And some people are not going to be my cup of tea, and that's okay. And I'm not going to be their cup of tea, and that's okay. And that's exciting, too.
Right.
Because then, you know, it alleviates
a lot of that. Yeah, not all animals necessarily have synergy.
You know, and they don't necessarily come from the same ecosystems, nor would they ever really truly cross. But here we are, given the opportunity to bring that to the table through energy ecosystems, right? Like you've heard me say it before, a blue whale is not going to do so well in the Himalayas, but a person with a blue whale soul can take one there, you know, and they take that energy with them and they can influence that ecosystem on an energetic level because the energetic ecosystem doesn't have to abide by the rules of the physical ecosystem. And that's super exciting too.
Oh my gosh. So speaking to the interpersonal, because this is one of the most profound and kind of surprisingly unexpected pieces of working with you a few times, is that I was blown away by how impactful it was to have a session, not only for me, but also for my family. And they didn't even do full-blown sessions. They did, it was kind of like a split family session, you know, so you tuned into my husband, which he loves me, obviously. He loves the work that I do, but he does not necessarily come from the same perspective or yeah. We oftentimes, you know, don't see eye to eye. But the one thing that happened with us in your session was more powerful and more potent than any previous attempts at therapy, to be honest with you. If you're a couple or you want to understand your family better, get with Fox. I'm telling you, in just maybe 15 to 20 minutes, you were able to break down some of the most challenging aspects of our relationship and put it into terms that he got and he took away. And I was like, wow, he really got that. And I got, and I saw him. And he saw me for maybe the first time in some ways. And I cannot even with that, because it was just like, wow, that was efficient. Do you find that the interpersonal work that you get to do with people, is that really rewarding? And
for me, yeah. Absolutely. Like it's hard to process it when people are giving you feedback like this. Sometimes it's really difficult to process it because I don't go at this for that reward, but sure. Then when it happens, you're like, oh, that's a thing, and yeah. it's working, and I'm grateful for it, and I'm excited for it, because I did not have specific training in any particular way other than my background in veterinary science with mm-hmm. actual animals and my love of psychology and behavioral psychology specifically. Aside from that, and that's all like my own research, right? But I didn't have that kind of training. I just instinctively yes. know, and through the animals I can explain. So animals are my filter. That's how I know how to relate the world around me. Mm-hmm. So to be able to say to somebody, hey, your soul's an eagle, and this is what I know about eagles, and this is, you know, what eagles need, yeah. like that's a big thing, and I think it's understandable by most people, because they can go, oh, yeah, I've seen eagles, and clearly they need big open spaces.
Well, you made him feel really seen. He is an eagle. He's a Philippine eagle, to be mm-hmm. specific, which I...
Big Mama Jamas.
Yeah. Yeah, which I was like, wow, that's cool. I'm glad it wasn't that and some, like, puny animal, because I don't think he would have started, you know, he may not have listened all the way through.
That one's a tough one, too.
I'm sure.
We could talk about all of the ins and outs of the psychology of, quote unquote, big, powerful animals versus... Sure. Punitive ones, right? But like, it's
everybody's
got
strengths and so forth,
and but the more you honor it, you'll realize that some of the animals that we consider are the easiest to dismiss have the most potent energy in an ecosystem, because without them,
oh,
the rest of us who are quote unquote bigger, stronger, badder,
right
like, wouldn't be existing. So you know, the smallest animals usually make the biggest impact.
Mm. You know? Yes. And I think we said this, but I'm a Indo-Pacific humpback dolphin. Mm-hmm. And so
it's a lot. It's when it comes to animals' names, some animals just have a lot to them. So I know you're like,
I love it. I finally think I have it memorized. Yes. Yes. I think I finally have it. But it was so fascinating when we learned this, because obviously I'm a water, he's yeah. an air, you know, and you just really have this gift of being able to cut through and say, this is what your dolphin needs. This is what your eagle needs.
Yeah.
Hey, you two, just consider the fact that you could really see each other for these areas differently, or, you know, to strengthen things in this mm-hmm. way. And it was so interesting. I tend to gravitate to birds a lot. I do like the birds, but you know, speaking to the dolphin and going down into the depths, and then you taught me about dolphins being voluntary breathers, that they have to go up to the air yes. or to the surface to get air,
and they have to think, breathe. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And I do a lot. I literally forget to breathe.
Yeah, because human beings, we are involuntary breathers. So you're actually not really forgetting to breathe, but taking those deep breaths, those life-giving breaths, those moment-giving breaths is very important for all of the cetaceans, the whales and dolphins and porpoises.
Okay.
So yeah, that's where that comes into play. And a well-placed deep breath goes a long way, as I'm sure you know. And that's the part that's easy to forget, especially when you're on the go.
I I am a bit on the go. Yeah, and you also mentioned like talking about like in this is before we knew Chris was an eagle. We were, you know, you brought this up probably just intuitively in the session with me, is that if a dolphin comes up to the air and there's comes up for air and there's an air animal that's kind of seeming like a threat, that we need to be clear in our boundaries and clear in our communication. You know, so then when I learned about him being an air animal, I was like, oh, wow, okay, that's really insightful piece of information that's really good to know and how to navigate relationship. What can you speak to in terms of what you've seen with working with couples or families that has been really interesting maybe, or different, you know, insights from perhaps a family that has, you know, like we have three predators and one that's not.
I guess for those who are tuning in for the first time and getting to understand what I do, your family that you're born to and or raised by, or your workspace, or even just this little studio, right, is its own ecosystem, energetic ecosystem. And everybody's got a part to play in that. And those parts that you play are really what those others need. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in that space, right? So a child who's born into a family or adopted into a family, their animal fits there because their animal is needed there. That's how that energetic ecosystem balance game gets played. So when you think about certain families that have a lot of carnivorous or omnivorous energies, and then suddenly you have an herbivore energy in there, right? Like there's a need for that and the lesson that that animal carries in that space. If you have a family full of herbivores and nothing but herbivores, and then suddenly a carnivore comes along, that's where the story gets shifted, right? That's where the lock and key mechanism turns. So if I think about some of the stories that show how that dynamic works, I mean, oh gosh, where do I even begin?
I know, right? Because like, there's so many different dynamics that come into play.
Yeah, I recently had an amazing session with a woman who's a polar bear and her daughter, who is also a polar bear. She only has one child who's another polar bear. And the father is an elk. Yeah, an elk energy. And in their personal story, there's separation between the parents and there's a desire for custodies, right? As it is in that kind of a situation. And the polar bear mother, in every polar bear right fashion, right? Because in bear culture, females and their babies, that's the closest bears have any kind of relationship with another bear. They don't partner up like certain animals, and they don't have like groups of them that gather, right? So for her, she's going to be a fierce protector of her baby. So she doesn't necessarily want to share, and rightly so. Her animal culture says no, that's not safe, that's not a good thing. But I reminded her that her child is also a polar bear. Their child is also a polar bear. And while maybe she did not get through to the father, who's the elk, right? Maybe the second polar bear was there to get through to that elk. And that maybe she should allow for that because the universe said that's a thing. You know, that's a possibility here for that elk. So that elk and her have separated, the mother and father have separated, but they made another polar bear, which clearly was for the mom and clearly was for the dad. Yeah. And so while she doesn't want anything to do with the dad anymore, the elk, her polar bear daughter might be able to be the one to get through as a lesson giver.
Interesting. So it's kind of like a reinforcement of the same lesson.
Pretty much. And that helped her a lot because she realized all the parts of her daughter that she struggles with within herself are already manifesting.
Yeah.
You know, so
what a mirror that must be to have the same
one. Huge one. So that's how that dynamic works. Yeah. But then when you have complete opposites or complete different ones, you have all the struggles of realizing that if, like, for example, you're a predator and you're raised by herbivores, like that's going to be a tough thing because you're going to be taught aspects of lack and have and structure and decisiveness and fear and all of those things that are going to be brought out in you as that predator raised by herbivores, and the herbivores are going to challenge back.
Right.
You know, every step of the way. So
it's
just
so fascinating.
Yeah, there's so much. And I, you know, we could go into hours and hours of those kinds of dynamics, but essentially what I do and what I aim to do when I'm working with families or couples or even businesses where they're mm-hmm. they're learning the interpersonal dynamics of business, right, is to get everybody to understand that who you're working with is not an extension of you in that they're the same animal. Not always. And you've got to also remember that even if you happen to be in a workspace where you're all the same animals, you're all still having your own experiences.
That's right.
And that's a huge factor too.
It's interesting. I, you know, definitely could talk more about my own family dynamics mm-hmm. and just that kind of juxtaposition and not seeing, because I didn't realize this, but dolphins are predators, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, they are. Very much so.
Okay. Dolphins are predators, eagle, Philippine eagle, predator. Like, but it helped to kind of remind just in that example, and I'm sure this comes up, is like, we're not enemies. We're both just kind of fierce in our own way. Right?
You have your roles to play in your ecosystems in the natural world. And in the physical realm, that's what you've got, a job, if you will. Like, you just being there is fulfilling your job. And you following through with your needs is fulfilling your job. You're hungry, you go after fish. Then you just naturally get what you need and you fulfill your job in that ecosystem. The word predator, I think, because of human landia, we get really like caught up in our heads about predator versus prey.
Or we think about like sharks, like apex predator.
Or like, you know, we think about what that could mean. And a lot of people struggle, or a lot of people have struggled in sessions when they don't feel like being a predatory animal or a hunting type animal is actually a desirable thing. They're I don't want that. Oh. What if that makes me not suited for interpersonal relationships?
Or it makes you aggressive, or like there's a connotation.
Oh, I mean, that's not how that really works. It's just, it has to do with the fulfillment or the follow through of mm-hmm. that energy, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't think something with sharp pointy teeth that could kill you is necessarily a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Been conditioned to think that mm-hmm. way by movies and everything else.
And then that's why I think like it's hard to think of a dolphin as a predator, as a hunter.
Yeah.
Like you're like, what do you mean they're hunters? Yeah. They save people.
They're just... Right. I get that. I love that. It's so fascinating. Yeah. And I did want to ask you about this because it occurred to me that if I had this gift, now granted, this might be the difference between a dolphin and a fox.
I think I know where you're going to go with this. Go ahead.
But I would be so curious about everybody. Oh. I would be looking at celebrities. I would be looking at people at the grocery store, and I would probably have a compulsive desire to identify every animal. Does that happen to you, or do you have better boundaries than I would?
I don't know that it's even about boundaries. Okay. It's more about like where my focus is.
Okay, so when you tune in, it requires energy.
I have to focus on a person. I have to focus on the moment. Otherwise, my brain's just going wherever it wants to go. I've got like all the fun things that I think every human has going on rattling around in my head. And there's usually circus music that goes with it. Like, you know, it's like, so, you know, I'm thinking about cute guys. I'm thinking about like my past. I'm thinking about my future. I'm thinking about my bills.
You're not hyper focused on this gift.
No, I'm not walking around going sperm whale. Cachalots. Oh yeah, look, all the sperm whales in this space. It's just, you know, capybaras. Oh. Woo, you know, like no. It just,
I think this is the difference between you and I, and I'm glad that this is all coming out because I would be obsessed.
Could I do that? Yes, and have I attempted to? I've sat at restaurants before just for funsies mm-hmm. and looked around the room and to get a sense of the space. But in all honesty, I mean, if I'm not actually going to be doing anything with it, then why expend that when I could be thinking about something else in that moment? I don't know. That's a tough one.
Fair enough.
And when it comes to famous people.
Yeah tell me about that, because that would be very
interesting. It's super tempting. I have actually worked with some famous mm-hmm. people, some actors and actresses, and they're people too who have, you know, privacy and, you know, their own stories.
Right.
So I have to remember that too. And honestly, some actors, especially the ones that I find attractive, you know, I don't really need to know. because I'm happy with my happy little like version of what they might be in my head versus that. What they really are. If they come to me for that, then I will follow through. But if they're not, then it's obvious like we're not supposed to cross in that way.
Yeah.
Not yet, you know.
I understand. So I know.
It's very tempting to just be like, this person's this and this person's that. And, you know, now having worked with some actors and actresses, I'm like, oh, that's what's happening out
there.
But
that's
also
on.
Yielded some very interesting reflections of myself, too, is that these people are really good at what they do, to have to hide those parts of them. Mm. You know,
yeah.
Some of them are very large animals who would prefer more secretive lifestyles. Some of them are animals who need to be very managing of their energy. I know one actress who's a koala, and koalas spend a lot of their life sleeping because they're processing high amounts of toxins in their body from the eucalyptus that they eat. And when I spoke to her about all of that, her acting, like when she goes on set, she does the scene and then she leaves. She goes back to her space because she cannot sit in those spaces and handle the anxiety that she feels. So she has to pull herself away every single time. And that is her way of working. And as long as she honors that, she's okay. But if she's forced into a space where she has to commit energy she doesn't have, she becomes a holy terror.
Wow. So that natural self-preservation was there before she even knew she was a koala.
Exactly.
And I think that's what's so interesting, too, is that when you do understand your soul animal, I haven't talked to anybody that doesn't resonate with them deeply.
Thank you. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's
yeah.
a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's a little bit like, oh, wow. Okay. Yep. You see me, don't you? You see all that. All that over there.
You know, it's like going to the zoo, right? Like when you see the animals just being themselves, it's so easy. It's just that. And there's no need for judgment. Like you don't go, well, I've never gone, maybe some people have, but I don't go to the zoo and go, wow, that is one ugly animal. Like
no,
me, I'm
yeah.
just like, wow,
fascinated,
look at, like, you know, so when we talk about the human condition and we talk about our judgments and what we pose as good and bad, again, coming back to
right.
that, you know, when I work with people who do have slight opposition or aversion to their soul animal, you know, we explore that because if the issue is like physical, like how they appear and they don't like that, well, then that's what we work on in the shadow aspects of themselves. So that's the part that like we bridge.
Because I was curious about that. If you identified someone as an animal that they had like a reaction to.
I've been very blessed with a lot of people who have been very happy about their animals, but I have met people who have had aversions to it, who struggle with it, and for appearances, for the fact that other people have said that they don't like those animals, like for example snakes. I have two categories when it comes to people who are snake souls, right? They're either like, yes, that's me, and or they're like, oh man, nobody likes me. And that's where that issue is, right? Like, so, or there's like that tie to being an evil animal.
Yeah, it's again a connotation that isn't necessarily.
I pride myself on making sure as a shamanic guide in those spaces to help them understand that animal and find love for those animals because we need them.
Yeah.
Every ecosystem needs every person playing their part. That's what's so important in our world is that we hold that. And I truly believe on an ecological level that the role of the human being on this planet is to help ensure that. Sadly, we're struggling with that as human beings, right? But like maybe if people can learn to love all of them, right? Remember that love, then we can have a better place for all of us to live.
Yeah.
All of us. Not just the people.
Right.
The human people. There's animal people, tree people, rock people, you know, invisible people, hidden people. Like there's all kinds of energy out there. If we can start with just loving our own animal.
That's right. And then that is one of the most beautiful gifts that you give people is a new way to love and accept themselves and to see themselves in a different light. And yeah, I can't say enough about your work. I literally am obviously thoroughly fascinated by that. And I was curious, what's on the horizon for you? I know some potentially exciting, expansive things.
Yes. So coming up here, I'll be leaving to go back to Iceland. Iceland has become a real spiritual retreat for me. I found if there is such thing as a soul country, I feel like that Iceland definitely is that for me, or at least Scandinavia, which I have yet to go to places like Finland and Norway. So I might find equally so in those landscapes. So in astrology, there's like the mapping, like when you're born and then you can look at a map where all of your energy lines are. Mm-hmm. And all of mine kind of converge between Iceland and Norway. Right there.
Oh, really? Yeah. So, your astro cartography.
Yes. Yeah. So that was really exciting for me. And interestingly enough, being a third culture kid growing up overseas my whole life, I have a lot of places where I've lived in my life and been to that cross those lines specifically. So that's been an exciting thing for me too. Mm. So that's why I'm exploring this through these travels and really exploring my own connection to spirituality and evolving that as I go. On this particular trip coming up, I'm going to the Icelandic Sorcery Festival in Holmavik. Ooh. So yeah, that's going to be really exciting to meet some people who are doing different kinds of spiritual practices and see what I can learn there.
And over then, the context and the lens of that being immersed in that space. That's exciting.
Yes. So that I'm super stoked for that. And when I come back stateside, I'm going to probably hit the road again and go up towards Chicago and then back over to Utah and then back through Texas and back here. So make a big loop, if you will, to explore some of the other practitioners and people that I've met over the years and just connect. Mm-hmm. Really right now it's about connection and that search for where I really want to be and then the also gathering of information for this book on interpersonal dynamics through my practice.
So that is the book. Theme is interpersonal dynamics. Oh, yeah. I love that so much.
Because there's so many, like, people are like, wouldn't it be great if you wrote a book like an animal guidebook? There are a lot of animals on this planet.
Yeah.
Not to mention the extinct ones, not to mention creatures of legend. Like, there's a lot. So to have a book like that, like, you're looking at
it would be an encyclopedia. Yeah.
You'd have tomes, you know, like just on and on and on. So I don't know that I could do that and complete that in one lifetime. But what I can start to do is talk about those generalized groups of animals, the genuses that are divided up that umbrella those groups of animals, and then what that means in your interpersonal relationships, which is really, at the end of the day, the number one question that I get asked is what animals are best for me? And I've realized that that's really what people want to know, is that once they understand themselves, what are they do with that? Who do they look for? How do they make that work? Should they make it work? The answer is you can make it work with anybody. You've heard me say this before, but should you? Not always.
Do you feel like there is a connection between us seeking out animals that will challenge us and to create that life lesson dynamic?
Absolutely.
Like, some dolphins aren't going to necessarily gravitate towards other dolphins a relationship where you need that polarity kind of thing.
Yeah, I also feel too, like, okay, you've heard me say this before. So I could be in a space where I have golden retrievers, right? They're all Tauruses. They were all raised by the same mom and dad, right? And then you adopt them out into different spaces, right? So one goes into a house where there's no rules. There's little kids running around. They are happy, fat, sassy little dogs that sit when they want to. Then you take another one, put it into a police academy, and ends up being a bomb sniffing dog at the airport. And then you take the third one and you beat it up every day and mistreat it. They're Tauruses, they're golden retrievers. But after a year, they're going to be very different in how they manage themselves. So we go into the psychology aspect, right? So they're golden retrievers that have golden retriever energy. They're Tauruses that have Taurus energy, but their experiences have shaped them into the versions that will teach others and attract others to them. So the bomb sniffing dog, right, has its own role to play based on its experiences and its skill sets that it's learned through those experiences. And it's still a golden retriever. It's still a Taurus, but it's going to attract very specific people to it and have a very specific tone in its life based on that. Now, if we think about that in terms of a human being, if you were growing up in a home where you've been abused or you've gone through some severe trauma, that is your baseline for your experience. So for the first big part of your, like, self-managing years, you're probably going to look for things that look like that.
Okay.
The psychology of that is, it doesn't sound like it would make sense, but typically we look for that. So What you might be looking for is animals that are very similar to those animals who caused or inflicted that trauma, right? At first. And then you'll have to sort through that accordingly. Like, for example, a person might have had a parent who was a warthog, right? Who abused them. And then as they grow up, they're looking for warthog energy. But then what they're challenged by is that not all warthogs are going to be like that one that abused them.
Right.
Right. So then they've got to like see those parts of themselves and grow. Some people get it and some people don't. Mm. And it's a tough one. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're mm-hmm. talking about like how we seek out certain animals, I will say that certain types of animals, not all, I mainly the grouping kind, like so the pods, the packs, the herds, the more they work on themselves, the more they will find community with like-minded or like energy types. So the more you work on yourself, I imagine mm-hmm. more water animals or water-related animals will start showing up.
Yep, I've seen that. Okay, well, we could talk all day. Yes. I did want to ask about your astrology because I would be curious if I didn't know. Mm-hmm. But
well, thankfully.
What resonates in your astrology chart that you would want to share, like in terms of
signs? So for those of you who are counting, I'm a Leo sun, a Virgo moon, and a Leo rising. So there's some fire there. And then, of course, the red fox soul. Mm-hmm. So there's that. I recently finally got a hold of my birth time since I traveled around. I never really saw my birth certificate. So we finally found it. And I found out that in human design, I'm a 5-1 generator.
Yes.
Which I've been like struggling with, but also like embracing at the same time. It's been a whole journey, but it's only been a recent journey.
Oh my gosh. Generator energy. You guys are so sparkly. We just want to cuddle up with you and you can hold us like a baby.
That's also like, I'm like, oh, no touchies. Yeah. Like, I don't want that. But also, please
keep
don't
healthy
leave
distance.
Me.
Yeah.
So that's been interesting. The parallels. So I've been finding more parallels.
I was going to ask you about this because it just occurred to me. My sun sign is Scorpio, which is a water sign, kind of surprisingly. And I'm a water animal. And mm-hmm. you just said you're a Leo fire sign and mm-hmm. you're a fire animal. Is there a correlation? Is that where you were going?
I don't think so because I've met some people like, so for example, one of my closest friends is an albatross and Virgo, I believe, is earth element, mm-hmm. right? So albatrosses are not really earth bound. Mm. They're more air and water, mm-hmm. right? Okay. So like it didn't necessarily correlate to that. But what I found interesting through some of the people who've been sharing their human design stuff, and I don't know enough about it, so I got to talk to a certain Arctic Tern about that. But like for example, my albatross friend, her ideal space, right? Her like personal space in the mm-hmm. in the human design construct is the shoreline. Mm-hmm. I know somebody else who is a different human design altogether, but her animal is a green sea turtle and hers is the shoreline. So the shores, so those liminal spaces. And these are animals who are very much liminal space animals. They go to sea, they fly, or they come to land to lay their eggs and then they go back to the sea. So that's interesting to me too. Other things like my really good friend, she has some gates that are all about alpha energy, mm-hmm. and she is an alpha female gray mm-hmm. wolf. Mm-hmm. And that's been interesting. But then other wolves I've met don't have that alpha, and they are not alpha wolves.
Right.
So that gate's not open. And I've found that there's some things that are starting to unfold in that mm-hmm. that have been pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. I have yet to do all of mine to, like, see how that works.
Oh,
but
a lot
I find
of depth
it really
there.
Interesting that my – and I don't know exactly the right words, but – my incarnation is
your incarnation
a mask
cross.
One. Mm-hmm. It's the incarnation of masks.
Okay.
And foxes are associated with shapeshifting and masks. So I was like, okay, something's here.
Oh, you just
I
gave
don't
me,
know what.
You just gave me a whole bunch of brain candy to
right?
go down
and
like
that's why
look
I'm
at.
Like, okay, so there's something here, but I don't know exactly what.
Yeah.
And, you know, as
some
I.
Some parallels for sure. For sure.
Something.
So interesting.
Yeah.
I love your Leo, your bright, shiny Leo self.
Thank you.
This all makes so much sense because I'm a Leo moon. So I'm like, okay. Hey.
Hi. Yeah. Which makes sense, you know, to want to do these kinds of things. So
coming out. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me in person
you're very
and
welcome.
Sharing just I could listen to you talk all day, literally. Like, I seek you out. I'm like, where's Fox at? Is she in town?
Is she in town? Yeah, no, that's seriously. Kind of where it is now.
So speaking of being in town, you're going to be at Christina, our Arctic Tern that she just mentioned, the Blonde Priestess.
Yes.
You will be at the Blonde Priestess headquarters.
I believe on the 6th of April.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah, just before I head out of town. Yeah, words.
So definitely get your spot. Just, you know, and if you've already had a reading, bring someone that you care about to get a reading.
We could do follow-ups too. That's
true.
Also an option too for people. I've been working with a specific company and their executives every week for the last 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So
you can go.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It keeps going.
Yes. It's an ongoing thing. Not that's a thing for everybody, but that's an option to come back around if you want to tap in, because I'm talking to your animal to gain insight and help you along your journey. So if you want to go deeper, you can. If you just want a one and done and then you want to be let loose in the world, that's cool too. I'm
thank
good
you for making
or.
That point, because I do forget that sometimes that you can go deeper and more layers, and depending, it makes sense, like whatever health you're animals in at the time, you know, it changes.
Well, yeah, just like your experiences and the people in your life. I have some clients who every few months they are dating somebody new and they need to understand the dynamics of that.
That's
so
right.
That's another thing too that I'll help with. But as I say to everybody, know your why before you come to see me. Like, that's
okay,
helpful.
Say more about that.
Okay. So if you're coming back, right, understand what it is that you're really looking for and how you're going to want to move forward, because that's the work. That's the work with a capital W. Mm-hmm. As you said at the beginning, like, my work feels fluffy and fun, and it is, and I want people to feel fluffy and fun, mm-hmm. but I do take pride in making sure that people understand that this is work, and it is a self-actualization and realization process that will take facing certain parts of yourself if you actually want it to help you in the long run. So if you come back, know your why.
Okay.
If you're coming back to just find out what your mother-in-law is so that you can you can have one up on her, that's not
check
where
your
we're
intentions.
Check your intentions, understand your why, because that will help you. That's knowing your why is always going to help you. So even if you don't come back, know your why.
Okay. All right. Well, I have had such a good time with you today.
Me too. This has been wonderful.
Really appreciate
Thank you.
Thank you. You are a dear, dear one in my life, and so many. You have such a ripple effect of your work in this community and now well beyond worldly.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Definitely tell people how they can find you.
Yeah, best way to get a hold of me is on Instagram. My Instagram handle is @thefoxlantern. So you can find me there, message me there. And I also have like a booking platform on there as well that you can click in.
And if you are not in Wilmington, you can still have a session that is just as meaningful and impactful.
Yeah, I do that via Zoom. But if people would prefer, like overseas, people usually use WhatsApp and we do that.
Okay.
Or Signal, depending on what they need. But yeah, I'm
you're flexible.
Pretty flexible.
I love that. Thank you, Fox. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
So good.